Is giving an evangelistic invitation biblical? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners just like you. To get your questions answered, send us an email. It's easy. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to getting your message. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. Did you know that we're not only a radio show, but we're also a magazine?
Oh, really?
Yes, we Grace in Focus magazine.
I've heard of that.
Have you heard of it? You're the editor of it.
Oh, I think I am.
We have a magazine called Grace in Focus, and we'd love to give you a free subscription. It's a print magazine, and we send it out every other month, and we would love to give you a print subscription to it. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up for Grace in Focus. Are you going to read it from cover to cover? Some people do, but I guarantee you, every issue, you're going to find at least one article that you will be blessed by.
Right.
And it's totally free. Unlike other ministries, we don't send you a request for money every single week. We hardly ever even do it at all. I think we do it once a year right before Christmas.
I think we do, yeah.
But you will see an ad for financial support in the magazine, but that's it. So if you want a free subscription to Grace in Focus, I would just love to give you one. Go to faithalone.org and sign up. Well, we're answering your questions today, and here is a question from Ralph. Ralph asks, is giving an invitation in evangelism biblical? Well, let me put some context into that. So one of the things that we're passionate about, especially you, Bob, and your mentor, Zane Hodges, whose books we published, is we need to rethink evangelism in light of Scripture. And there's a lot of tradition that has been built up in evangelicalism over the last few hundred years, all kinds of techniques for doing evangelism, and you don't really see those techniques in Scripture necessarily. For example, I believe it was Finney who invented the mourning bench.
Right.
This bench at the front of the church in front of the pulpit where people can go and kneel and cry and mourn for their sins. Paul didn't walk around with a mourning bench when he evangelized, right? Jesus didn't walk around with a mourning bench and saying, wait a second, here, let me put this bench here. Okay, before you believe in me, come here, get down on your knees.
And this is M-O-U-R-N. It's not
mourning.
Like before the afternoon, it's the morning bench.
Yeah,
No.
It's like a repentance. It's the sinner's bench or something.
Right.
So one of the things we're interested in is, well, what does evangelism look like in the New Testament? So that's why Ralph is asking the question, because that's something we've thought about. So is calling for an invitation, that makes sense, right? I mean, I'm a Baptist. That's what we grew up with. Almost every service ends with an invitation to believe. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Whoever's believed in Jesus or accepted Jesus or wants to, raise up your hands. Some of those invitations are very strong. Some of them are very pushy. Some of them are very light. What would you say?
When I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, I was on staff for 4 years, 2 years at Arkansas State and 2 years at North Carolina State. I was taught and I practiced the idea that if you did not give an invitation, you had not yet evangelized. If I didn't get to the point where I gave a person a chance to quote-unquote receive Christ and to pray the prayer in the Four Spiritual Laws booklet, I had not yet evangelized. And I would not count it on my staff form as someone I had evangelized until I gave them that invitation.
All right, so the question is, where did that requirement come from?
Well, it's kind of funny because it really doesn't come from the Bible. Now, I've talked to a number of people who think there are places in the Bible where invitations are given. I don't agree. What I see in the Scriptures is declarative statements, a declaration. For example, Jesus said, "He who believes in me has everlasting life," John 6:47. He doesn't say, "Would you like to believe in me so you can have everlasting life?"
Raise your hand if you believe in me.
He doesn't say raise your hand or whatever. Paul, when asked, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved."
So a declaration.
It's a declaration.
This is what needs to be done.
He doesn't say, "Would you like to give your life to Christ? Would you like to invite Jesus into your heart? Would you like to, quote unquote, accept Jesus?"
And
you
are
don't
there,
find those things.
Are there follow-up questions? I mean, is he now then asking, "Okay, did you do it? Would you sign this card?"
No. There are no follow-up questions other than in John 11:26b, Jesus says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" Now, he knew Martha was already a believer, And he's eliciting a response from him that he knows is going to be in John's gospel and is going to be a pivotal verse in John's gospel. But he's not doing this so that she will come to faith. And there's no other example of anything like that. I had a friend who once said that he thought it was actually a negative thing to ask people if they believe, for the most part. For example, in many Asian cultures, people are taught that politeness requires that you will cooperate with people. So if people tell you something and then they ask, do you believe this? And you know they want a yes answer.
Right.
You answer yes, even if you don't understand what they said.
Sure. You're just being polite.
Right. And the same thing is true in the Hispanic culture for the most part. There's a lot of respect for authority, especially religious authorities. And if they ask you, do you believe this, the knee-jerk reaction is often, of course.
Yeah, I can give testimony to that. I send my kids to VBS every year.
Vacation Bible School.
I sent them to one last year, and there was an invitation at the very end, and all the parents were invited. And the invitation was very vague. It was every head bowed, all the eyes closed. If anyone has made a decision for the kingdom, raise your hand. And I remember Zane, who was, I think he had just turned 5 at the time, he raised his hand because he had made a decision, and a bunch of kids did. Why? Because the leader up front just, you know, there's a little bit of pressure on a kid. You know, they want to feel included, so they're going to raise their hand. And I asked him about it later. Well, what does that mean that you made a decision for the kingdom? And he had no, he was clueless. He was just 5 years old.
All right,
you know?
I have a worse example.
Yeah.
You ready for this? You know how at camps, oftentimes at the end of camp, they're going to get the campers to give them an invitation to come to Christ.
Yeah.
What they did at this one particular camp, and from what I've heard, this is a true story, they had two barrels up front. The one barrel, they put rags and cloths and paper in it and then soaked it with kerosene, and they talked to the kids about this. One barrel represents those who are going to hell, and the other barrel represents those who are going to heaven, and they'll spend eternity with Jesus.
Right.
And you need to decide right now whether you are going to give your life to Christ and go to heaven, or not give your life to Christ and go to hell.
Right.
So they gave everybody a 3x5 card and had them write their name on the card.
Right.
And then they dropped a match in the one with all the kerosene, and it whooshed, flames came shooting out of it.
Right.
And then they had the kids go up and put their card in the barrel that said, I'm giving my life to Christ, I'm going to heaven, or in the other one, I'm not giving my life to Christ, I'm going to hell.
Right. And I
guess
I bet,
what?
Yeah, I bet I can guess which barrel got the
they
most.
They had a really
names.
Good response. Let
yeah.
me say.
Well, we laugh, but okay, so what's the underlying point here? The critique is when you're doing an invitation, and especially if it's a high pressure invitation, you are basically risking getting a bunch of false numbers that you can then report in your newsletter about how many people got saved.
We call that evangelastic.
Evangelastic. Yeah. Why is that? Oh, because it's so, it's what? It's,
yeah, it expands the numbers. Like, you know, we had 30 people present and 120 came to faith in Christ.
Right. Now, I can see the value of asking, do you really believe this or not? But what we want is people who actually believe.
Like, right.
We're not interested in fake numbers. So what is the biblical philosophy here? You declare the truth, and then you leave it to God and the person as to whether or not they believe?
Now, one of the things I really liked about what we were taught within Campus Crusade for Christ was, this was one of our little slogans. We share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we leave the results to God. Mm-hmm. Now, I really like that.
Yeah.
Basically, we're just telling them, look, I'm a beggar. I found the bread, the free bread,
right.
And I'm telling you where you can get this free bread, this everlasting life.
Right.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross, took away our sins, and because he's dealt with the sin problem, now all we need to do is believe in him to have everlasting life.
Right. Now, I can see someone saying, listen, if you don't press someone for a decision, we were speaking to a pastor yesterday who put it in terms of fruit picking.
Right.
He says, I'm not a fruit inspector, I'm a fruit picker. If you don't pick the fruit by making an invitation, then you're just, what are you doing? You're just kind of leaving that person totally alone. But isn't there, I mean, evangelism is important, but isn't there, where would the follow-up come in? Would that come in terms of discipleship, inviting that person to church? It's not as if you're evangelizing and then just leaving this person out to sea totally.
Right.
There is some type of invitation, at least to if you believe this, why don't you come to church? You know,
right.
There's some type of invitation.
Well,
right?
Even if they don't believe it, why not come to our church?
Right. Yeah, invite them either way.
I've got Sunday school class. Come to my Sunday school class. I have this home Bible study. Come to this. Whatever it is. And I would suggest that, sure, you want people to respond not only in faith, but then to become involved in discipleship.
Right, right. What I like about that is inviting someone to church or your small group or to other kind of Christian activities, it's an invitation, is bringing a person into the realm of being able to hear the word taught more, but you're not pressing for a false conversion testimony. You're not
right.
You're not pressing for false numbers. It's a natural invitation, and you're kind of leaving it to God and that person to kind of develop that person's faith.
Well, I can tell you how this ties in with my own testimony. I thought I had, quote-unquote, invited Jesus in my heart or received him when I was 16 because I felt something, but I believed in work salvation at that point. Mm. Well, when I was 20, I lacked assurance, and a friend invited me to a Campus Crusade meeting, and I went, and then I contacted Campus Crusade at my own school, and I met with a person. He kept sharing Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." We talked for like an hour, and I still wasn't convinced.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he invited me to meet again. And we did.
Right.
And I still wasn't convinced. Five times we met, about 5 hours over the course of a few weeks, and I came to faith.
Mm.
And I was born again
mm-hmm.
because I now believe that simply by faith in Christ, I had everlasting life. And so basically what he was inviting me to was to study the Word of God.
Right.
Now, I have another friend who was blackballed by the Mormons in four different counties in Southern California because he kept inviting Mormon missionaries to his house to do Bible study with him. And they would go through the Gospel of John, and he led several Mormon missionaries to faith in Christ. And so they finally said, you know, this is a person you stay away from because he was having an impact. And so we can invite people to study the Word of God. We can invite people to church. But really, as far as believing, ultimately, we just declare the truth and leave the results to God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not you can be convinced without being converted. So you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.